Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
What's good, internet? One last time. It is December 17th, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 448, we think, but crucially, the waypoint.gay website, which lets us know where we actually are in the chronology, is down. Yesterday, we feared it was we hoped it was an AWS outage, and that service would be restored, but unfortunately now, the site just appears to no longer be updating based on Waypoint Radio episode numbers, and we are just at a loss. We're at sea. I think this is episode 448, but what do I know? I'm flying blind here through a fog bank. Joining me in the fog bank, Patrick Lepik.
Hello.
And our producer, Ricardo Contreras.
Hello. 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 I'm trying to get through the fog.
Here, let me help you. It's 449.
Cotto, then everything I said the other day was wrong.
Yeah, you were off by one and I didn't realize. I'm sorry. Back then, we fucking crashed into the fucking mountain. Here, though, we're swerving. We're still swerving. In the future.
See, the Sandra Bullock film The Net tried to warn us about the way this sort of dependency would lead us to disaster. And indeed, that movie begins with a guy crashing into a mountain because the machine lied to him. Oh, yeah, no, the character, like the way that Sandra Bullock's character ends up completely like cut off and identity stolen is because the one person she knows in like real life, her like hacker collaborator, is killed when the evil hackers like change his flight instrumentation in the net. And so he's like a recreational pilot. And basically now he's getting a bogus altimeter reading and just flies into a mountain. It's real, real scary. Even at the time. What a movie. Anyway, I'm in a little bit of a frenzy here because I just raced here, raced out, and then raced back.
We gotta back this up. Rob and I were having a conversation this morning, you know, one of many we have throughout the day. Our beloved Chicago Bears, despite what they do to us, we keep coming back. We'll have three of their main coordinators out for their upcoming football contest. Their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, and their special teams coordinator all are on a COVID list.
Quick question from someone who doesn't actually...
Sure.
But that sounds like all the coordinators?
It's everyone but the head coach. Yep. It's a lot of them.
Those are three most important assistants.
Offense, defense, and special teams. I feel like I've heard all three of those before.
Yeah, those are, they call the three phases of football.
You know what? I'm ready for Matt Nagy Unleashed. I think we're going to see some shit. Like, you know what? These other guys, like Urban, like, he's just too nice to say what Urban Meyer said. Mm-hmm. But Nagy is a winner. Fucking alpha, and he just didn't want to tell everyone that they suck and actually he's the genius. But now with no coordinators, we're gonna see.
Time to be BU in all three phases, Rob. Anyway, so there has been this coincides with the Chicago Bulls at one point having so many players in COVID protocols that they could not field a team. There's a minimum player requirement to get on the floor of a basketball court or you will forfeit. And the NBA had to waive how you normally sign players so that they could bring folks up from, I think they call it the G League, which is kind of like their developmental league in the NBA, just so they could basically lose games. Like, hey, we know you don't have any of your good players, but like, you know, got to get out there and just shoot them hoops. And I've noticed this happening. I mean, obviously, this has been hitting two teams that I follow pretty closely. But if you've been following sports in general, there have just been a rash of outbreaks in hockey, in basketball, in football. And if we rewind the tape to March 2020, like the moment, there was the day that COVID became real, right? It was Tom Hanks got COVID. The NBA, in the middle of a game, walked off the court and said, we're not doing this anymore. And also, I think we're shutting down the season till they resumed in the summer. And there was a third thing. There was a third thing that happened that day. But it was like the moment where COVID became kind of real for everyone. And sports, in particular, since then, has sort of been at like the forefront of like how I feel. But like, where are the outbreaks? Like, how bad, you know, is it? It's one of many metrics. But they test every day, right? And so when you're having all these folks get caught, and these and like on the I believe like in NFL franchises, they are 100% across the board on the coaching staffs of every team being vaccinated, thus telling you that people who are testing are like, you know, breakthrough cases. Like, these are people who are otherwise being fairly careful or forced to be careful because of their jobs. And these teams are being fucking decimated, which says to me that Omicron is fucking everywhere. Because where else in your life are you getting tested unless you've had a close contact or someone does test positive?
And let's be real, a lot of people are letting it ride if they're vaxxed, where they're like, yeah, I mean, maybe I was exposed, but probably not.
Or maybe you're not even getting tested, right? Like, maybe like you have, like, if you feel like you have a cold, you're like, fine, I'll just stay home for 10 days. Like, I'm not doing that much anyway. Like, I think that's reasonable. Like, I don't think that's like irresponsible to do that. It's all just that we've like gotten to a place where we've been told over and over, like, if you get vaccinated, you're safe. Like, you might just go, we're just all, you know, everyone's risk assessment is different. Anyway, I'm laying out this theory to Rob, and then there's a moment where he, like, it all sort of dawns upon him, where he's just like, oh.
So the thing is, I thought Patrick was just saying, like, damn, crazy how they keep having all these breakthrough cases. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it seems to be what the trajectory is with Omicron. And you were like, but yeah, no, it's because they test every day, man. If they're showing up all these positives, that must mean that like Omicron is like literally everywhere. Yeah. And that's where the coin dropped, where I was like, oh, that's what Patrick meant. Like, this is the like shark attacks thing, right? Where it's like for every shark attack that you hear about, there's way more sharks in the ocean. And that's kind of like the logic here. The two other things that tipped me was today, like literally this morning, my town reintroduced a mask ordinance. And my condo board put out a notice that was like, hey, we need to start masking indoors again. That's both like town ordinance, but also just we've all gotten lax about it, but like fucking stop, like start masking up. And then the final clincher was like, and I don't care about this team, but seeing that just out of blue, the Sacramento Kings were also just like wiped out in the space of an afternoon effectively by COVID outages. Like again, full coaching staff, a lot of the team just all like now they're suspending games. And I was like, I need to get this booster. And the thing is, I'd almost gotten it earlier, but like the only times that were available at the CVS near me were like, it's a 24 hour CVS and all the good times are taken. So
do you want
to
come at 10:20?
Oh, dude, I wish. No, like it's like, do you want to come in at like 4:15 in the morning? And the answer was like, I was like, I'll wait for this booster fad to die down. And I'll just come in after everyone's gotten theirs. I don't need to be a day one person.
Is that things are trending the other direction where now it's like getting harder to find the appointment.
So I'm strangely like COVID boosters near me. And for one day only, the site that I got my original vaccines is open again. It's been closed for months. And like just for today, it was open. And I was like, well, that's a sign. Like, this is the proverbial, you know, guy waiting for God to save him and the helicopter flies over. And I'm like, yeah, get me on that helicopter. That's God flying that helicopter to me. I'm not waiting on this rooftop no more. So, yeah, raced out there, got my booster. Who knows what the future holds? Could have a gnarly day tomorrow. But in the meantime, definitely pumped to not be as at higher risk for Omicron, especially since, I'll be honest, it's not just, you know, people get COVID bad. That sounds real bad. But also this long COVID sounds real bad. Fucking weird. God.
The one that, and there's a lot of like the long COVID stuff you read about that is like bad and scary. And the fact that we know so little about it. And like, it's the kind of thing that we're clearly going to spend the next decade like fully untangling. But it was there was a TikTok where this girl was responding to someone talking about how the food tasted like garbage.
Yes.
For her. And this girl started sobbing because for most people, like, you know, where, you know, some people get like no symptoms, some people get cold symptoms, some people, you know, lose the smell and taste. And then there are like, you know, different spigots that go out from there. And one of the rarer ones can be that during that period where you're like going through the symptoms, food doesn't just lose taste because so much of it is rooted in actually what you smell as opposed to your tongue. But the food actively flips to tasting what people describe as sewage. But that's supposed to go away. Like, that's just a really shitty side effect in that like 2 week period where you're kind of like just grueling through it. And this poor girl, like, this has been going on for months. And like there is like an understanding that like, you know, for how little we know, like there's a chance that like maybe this is just what your life is like now to some, or maybe it'll go away. I mean, and that scared the shit out of me.
That's the thing where like my partner has like lingering complications from about with swine flu she got a couple years ago, which, you know, infuriating thing. She knows who brought it into the office, and it was somebody who has like a special needs kid and was straight up like dead out of paid time off. And so she came in because she needed that fucking paycheck to make ends meet. But also she brought swine flu into the office with her, and a bunch of people got it. And with this stuff, it's always like, for most people, it's going to be maybe a slightly gnarly flu, but like a flu.
Yeah.
But with this shit like going around, there are going to be people for whom there's like weird lingering, both in terms of outcome, you're sort of the end of the bell curve, but also just you end up in weird places with like knock on side effects and lingering conditions that just don't clear up and are not well understood. That's the thing, is once you fall into one of these buckets where it's like, we're in the realm of like syndromes. There's a bunch of weird stuff that we know that happens with like different patients who experience these symptoms and maybe have this medical history. We don't know why it all happens or what course it follows. We don't know a lot, but we do know that like it's real. We just can't explain it. Good luck. At that point, you're just kind of through the looking glass where it's like, okay, I guess I just have to slowly try to pin down what my own medical condition is with a bunch of doctors who are really uncertain what they're dealing with or what exactly they're supposed to do. And that's the other part of this that like scares the shit out of me, is the notion that like you get COVID and maybe it isn't even that bad. But then like 2-3 years later, you're like, oh, I've got a lot of fucked up things happening to my body and nobody can really help me with them. And now I'm just like intermittently partially disabled due to this shit that all stems from, you know, what amounts to a really weird fucking cold.
Yep.
That scares the ever living crap out of me. And the other thing that like really brought it home is she's having trouble booking the care she needs because now all these specialists who like weren't necessarily in the highest demand, now they've got a line like down the block with people like with weird post COVID shit, similar symptoms, being like, help, I've got all this weird stuff happening to me. That's the other part of this that like not only now are we locked into whatever different COVID variants are going to bring, but like, man, we do not know what the COVID after effects are going to be like down the road. I suspect it's going to be more than people suspect in terms of like people dealing with, for better, like to greater or lesser degrees, life altering conditions.
Yeah. I mean, like there's enough evidence that like it can fuck with the brain. And like once you go down that path, it gets bad quickly for enough, you know, enough. What is statistically insignificant is still thousands or millions of people.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing, right? Is like when you're like, well, there's early in this process, one of my partner's doctors was like, you know, we tend to write off a lot of stuff as like these are rare conditions. We don't like look for it closely. But like when you're talking about a thing that pops up like on the order of a tenth of a percent of like patients you see across your lifetime, but then you multiply that across like the population of everybody, that's still a lot of people yeah, who are going to end exactly. up with this weird shit.
Exactly.
So yeah. So anyway, that is why before I left, I just grabbed an armload of boosters and booked yeah. it back here. And
that's what our Friday stream went from a group of us doing PowerPoint presentations to then Natalie being busy, and it's like, well, we'll just find some game that, you know, Rob, Kato, and I will play a game. Then Rob sends the message that he got spooked by the sports people getting sick and he got a booster. So now I'm fairly confident that he's gonna be laid out. So I think Kato and I are gonna play NES golf is like what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Gonna be great. See, I got my booster yeah. over the weekend, and it just gave me a bad. It's like a tiny person punched my armpit a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what it felt like.
So that maybe didn't happen to me at all. I just had a lady inject me.
I meant the weird soreness I got, but then I was pretty okay otherwise. I'm kind of tired the first day, but
I had nothing. I was I got like 8 hours into it when you should start feeling something if it's gonna go south. Like nothing happened. I was like, all right, I'm pouring a glass of scotch because I get a COVID day off, and you know what I'm doing? Taking that day off.
Yeah, that's I got mad sick days still. Like it's December 16th. Like I'm coming in to interview somebody, and then y'all want to play NES golf. I'm just going to be sitting there with...
Oh, I'm hurting. It's like ah, this Manhattan just keeps falling into my mouth because I'm so sick.
You know, I just got to stay hydrated.
Rob keeps calling into the stream just to talk with us, but he doesn't actually want to do the stream.
But also I'm bored and lonely. Hey, guys, thought I'd just hang out with you while I'm waiting for my Drizzly order to show up. Does Drizzly bring chicken soup? Because obviously, yeah. I just ordered chicken soup from Drizzly, but I had them toss in some vermouth as well. Yeah, so that's the plan from here. Hope everyone's staying safe, staying healthy. But yeah, for real, it feels like we are fully back in early COVID days in terms of like just how much is out there and how rapidly it's spreading. And that is both a bit demoralizing, but also is at least clarifying the steps I need to be taking, which is getting that booster. Mm-hmm. All right, so what do we want to get into here, Patrick? You want to talk about like game awards?
Alan Wake.
Hell yeah!
We never had. We talked almost 3 hours of Animatrix, so we didn't get around to at least touching on some of the stuff from the largely boring game awards. Like the hot take was like it was really long and largely really boring. I think they have done better versions of the balance between. Like what the reality of the Game Awards is as a marketing experience with like occasionally like a cool orchestral thing that you watch for 5 minutes. And I thought that balance is really off. But boy, at least they had a couple of things that were specifically targeted at us, including Alan Wake 2 getting formally announced for 2023. And specifically, I think it is like really interesting that they said this is going to be Remedy's take on survival horror. We obviously don't know what that means, but like that comes with like some fairly specific connotations of tone, kinds of mechanics you might expect. And I'm surprised. we, in a different podcast that you will hear later, we talked about sort of like on a tangent, the state of the horror genre and like how these games are developed and why they are developed in certain ways. And I don't know, I guess I didn't expect that Remedy would land on, actually, we're going to make a very expensive, very scary game that may downplay combat mechanics. That's not, I guess when you get Epic to sign a blank check, maybe, you know, you get a little more latitude on what you can accomplish, but that's tremendously checks so many boxes for me that I was like, you know, like the Vince McMahon meme, like yes, yes, and like falling over in my chair.
So here is the one thing I'll say about that. I think I love Remedy games a lot, and I feel like they do want to explore like broader design spaces, but I feel there's a reason that a lot of times they default back to, you know, though, it could be a shooter. It could be a third person shooter.
See, I don't think this stops it, right? Like I still think the primary action of the character will be a flashlight that you like
in
shine
theory,
at things.
Most of the Resident Evil games are technically third person shooters, right?
Well, right. But I think this, my actual suspicion is we end up with something a lot like Evil Within 2. That is my, like, if I had to put money down on like what is Alan Wake 3, like what is Alan Wake 2 going to feel like? It's going to feel a lot like Evil Within 2.
That, I mean,
and I have no fucking problem with that.
I was going to say, like,
and that's great.
Looking for the issue, except that I think like Evil Within 2 like very much was like more psychedelic horror. Like it wasn't really all that interested in like scaring you. And they, at least the tone of that trailer and the way the little that Remedy has said about their intentions for the project seem like they do intend to scare people as part of this. And I don't
I mean, Alan Wake himself is scarier. They turned him into Neil Druckmann. I'm not imagining it though, right? Like he was on the stage like just an hour later. I was like, damn, he looks a lot like Alan Wake, looks a lot like Neil Druckmann.
He
like
does.
I guess
he does.
Being at the bottom of Cauldron Lake does things to a man.
And I'm super curious because I don't think this think people should
Jake Gyllenhaal, that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, there's a Nightcrawler vibe there too.
Great movie. I don't think this stops, like, I don't think people should imply
Troy Baker. There was another person that I couldn't come up with that I was like, that one voice actor is who this person is. It's like they smashed together Jake Gyllenhaal and Troy Baker's faces.
As long as they just don't recast him.
I hope
they have
not.
They've said specifically that it's the same actor.
Okay, because if they killed off Casper Darling, so that he could reprise Alan Wake without it being weird.
I'm pretty sure I saw them out here saying no. Like the same person. But I don't think what I was getting to. Forcato's multiple.
Sorry.
As his brain synapses fired off the things he was trying to remember. I don't think it's like stops like a Control 2 or anything like that happening. I think those things are happening in parallel from what I understand about what the future, like the future of Remedy is bright, full of way more money than they've ever had before.
Sick.
And the ability
Left
to pull
for Control,
off.
Control 2.
Oh, right. Cause they did
Evil Within Bright Falls.
They did say they were going to do that multiplayer Control thing, right?
Are you excited, Patrick? It'll be another co-op shooter that I'm bothering us all to play like week after week. Like, you know what we could stream is this game that I would like to play on my own time, but I have no friends to play it with. But I can now turn that into content and force you all to play it with me.
It's true. We're so close to the end of Back 4 Blood. I liked that one, though. But there was a moment in the past, like a couple of weeks, like, well, we could just play Aliens. I was like, no, we can't, actually.
Yes, we could.
You and Kato could find someone else to play Aliens with
you.
We
just need a third. Kato, who's our third?
I don't know. Well, no, it's four, isn't it?
No, Aliens is
no,
three. Aliens,
three.
This
it's
is why
three.
Aliens is
oh my
weird.
God, my brain.
And yeah, you right. think that
well,
would
the
solve
fourth,
the problem.
The third is a fucking, it's a working Joe.
Because we
the AI
we started,
will join
it's
us.
True.
We started playing that when when it was just the three of us before Natalie had come on board in the great in between. So yeah, I'm excited for that game. I don't know what it is. 2023 is a long way off, so maybe it's a 2024 game. But I'm excited that there is a different reality where like Remedy goes out of business or is bought in a way that makes us all kind of bummed out. And I'm excited that like the future of Remedy is like a bunch of companies competing for them to do stuff. Also, please just release that fucking weird squad shooter so I can stop seeing trailers for it and I can see what Remedy has done with that. I feel like I've seen four different trailers. Crossfire X or whatever it was. There was another trailer Remedy? For it.
Oh, yeah.
It is and it isn't. Like
right.
The demo I played was very much like, well, the check cleared, I guess.
Right, right. Well, but that's what I mean. Like, they were in a period, like, that game crosses over with Control being in, you know, protracted development where things could have gone different ways for that studio. And I think we're getting, like, one of the best possible ways. Let's see. I don't know. Is there anything else that's...
Well, if we want to... You described the... Vince McMahon meme. Do we want to go to the one where it was Vince McMahon meme until the very last one, and then the last one you're angry at it?
Yeah.
An all-time great Star Wars trailer. That was then revealed at the end to be the previously reported Star Wars Eclipse in development at Quantic Dream. For folks who are unaware, because all this happened a little bit ago, you know, the company was pretty credibly accused by two different French publications, because Quantic Dream is a French studio, of a really toxic work atmosphere of, like, I forget some of the specifics.
A lot of anti-Arab racism was, like, that jumped off the page.
Yeah. And there was like these two big reports and two major French publications. Quantic Dream countersued, and won to some degree. I forget exactly how the legal stuff, but the way they won did not necessarily declare them the winner, as in like they were wrong about what they reported.
Right.
It was more that like the legal system
punished the reporters.
Yes, it was to punish like people looking into what was going on, and that leads us to Disney partnering with Quantic Dream for
God.
Star Wars Eclipse, a game we don't know very much about. The one can certainly make some informed speculation on how it might play. I believe there was a Kotaku report from earlier this year that like one of the development struggles they were having with the game was how to make a Quantic Dream Star Wars game, you know, like a game in which people expect to do Star Warsy things, you know, like wield a lightsaber and, you know, some action stuff. So,
well, you still can, but now it's just Simon Says.
Exactly.
Or you do the other Star Warsy things, like, you know, push things through the Senate.
Well, if they go the political route, then, you know, I'm not gonna say they're fine, but at least you can imagine
how they're not fine. The game might be.
Yeah, it was a you know, yeah. It's a very
well, so
cool
the trailer,
trailer,
like, the trailer's full of, like, pretty Star Wars shit.
Yeah,
it
like,
is.
Locales looking cool. Great, like, CG animation. Really, like, hell yeah, I could go for...
Well, it reminds me of, like, the trailers they would make for BioWare's, like, the Old Republic MMO, where it's like, when you'd see the game, be like, ah, okay.
Or, like, the prologue of Fallen Order, right? Which is the most Star Warsy sequence in that game, maybe.
Sure.
But... Yeah, the other part of it was where it started to slip a little bit off the rails before I even knew who it was going to be is there's also like a Voldemort looking motherfucker like beating on a big gong.
Yeah.
And there's something like both. Yeah, dude could be an alien, but also there is something alien and other in the way that we mean it as well, just in the way it's portrayed. And then the revelation that, yep, in fact, it is an alien, and it implies, like, this is some sort of new alien menace rising as, like, a fucking goop monster rises from their goop pit that they've been summoning. And then we get the
You liked
eclipse.
Your goop pit in Dune, though, huh? You got a thing against goop pits, Rom?
Yeah, I mean, so the...
Did you read the reports out of who is the actor who plays that character in Dune?
Wasn't that
Stellan Skarsgård?
Yeah, Skarsgård.
Yeah. There was like a report that was basically like he loved the goop. He wanted more of the goop on him. He wanted to spend more time in the goop.
Yeah.
And like I already like that guy because he's a good actor and he's, as we pointed out in a different podcast, at this point, I don't know which one, but like he had like the most interesting things to say about the state of cinema and the answer to the what's up with the rise of Marvel movies question. But then also reading the, like, and he fucking loved being in the goop, just like just rolling like
rolling
a pig and shit
goop.
In that goop.
Well, and also I just couldn't help but think, I think there's an element of, so Dune is, I think it's less like Islamophobic than it is like Orientalist. And both those things are bad and mm-hmm. problematic, but like one is worse, right? One is just like naked bigotry. And the other is a weird kind of fascination that does like tend to lead white creators into weird fucked up territory, but often tries to come from this place of like respect and curiosity and then just goes horribly wrong and turns into appropriation and also like really thoughtless repurposing. I feel like Quantic Dream have the appropriation issues, but like the dumbest possible versions of them.
Well, just look at the last game they made.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, you know what? The struggle of black people is just like struggle of AI to like be recognized as like full people, full individual. I mean, like the shit that happens in that game, both in how it actually deploys its black characters and uses that those real world events and like politics, and like it's even if you are like reaching a bit with the trailer because of your feelings of Quantic Dream, in essence, you're not, because of like the evidence of their previous projects that would suggest the project, like the game itself would then do that, even if it's not fully present in the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, and also we end up hitting this ground all the time over on A More Civilized Age, where like also Star Wars by default loves to play in this space too, right? Where
space
space is full of ethnic stereotypes. And the argument that like the way Star Wars often gets there is it's like, well, we're taking some of the broad caricatures that existed in old like 1930s, 1940s serial films, and we are bringing that flavor, that vibe into the Clone Wars or into Star Wars. But ultimately what that often means is like, okay, so we brought a space Jewish stereotype, space Shylock, into the story, and here you go, huh? Yeah, that's pretty usurist, huh? We hate him. Boo, Space Shylock. And so, like, I think you combine the fact that Star Wars often just sort of trips into this territory. They trip into their own goo pit. And then you got Quantic Dream, who narratively, they love the goo pit. They just root around in it and befoul the goo pit. And I mean, those two things together worries me. Or it doesn't worry me. I am pretty confident, actually, in how this ends up playing out.
Yeah.
Like, worried implies, like, oh, I hope the intrinsic goodness of this project doesn't go wrong. And instead, I'm like, well, you know, sometimes a Hail Mary connects.
I mean, at least, in the past, because of the way Disney or Lucasfilm or however that license is doled out, you know, it'd be like, oh, well, you're only getting one of these for the next 4 years. Whereas like, it seems like over the next 10 years, like as Lucasfilm has no idea what to do, what is a Star Wars movie? I don't know. We'll just announce them and cancel them. What's happening is just like, well, the TV stuff is like on its own track and doing, you know, reasonably well creatively and critically. And then games, you can just like every developer, every publisher is going to line up to say, yes, we would like to make a Star Wars game. And it now seems like Disney's a takeaway from the EA relationship was, why don't we just let a bunch of these other companies bear a bunch of the cost and responsibility of making these things, and we'll just cash the check that goes along with the license and do some of the marketing efforts. And so I just expect there's going to be like 1 to 2 Star Wars games every year going forward.
Oh, like, maybe it goes full Games Workshop, you know, right, like Star right. Wars Total War.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, Rob's bent.
There's not enough factions in there, but like, look, I have thoughts.
But isn't that why you take like one thing we'll note about, you know, Eclipse is that it's not set in any of the eras that have been traditionally depicted in like Star Wars films and TV. It's set in this new High Republic era, which is what 900 or no,
an even longer
years?
Time ago.
It's not Old Republic, but it's before the original films. Like Yoda is, so they can still have Yoda. Yoda's around. He's only 300 years old or something like that. Because Yoda was definitely in that trailer.
well, now that we know there's more than one Yoda, though.
That's true. That's you probably.
Know, a
that's
baby
probably
Yoda implies more Yodas. And of course, there's Yaddle. Who forgets Yaddle?
But I think they've
everyone,
already said.
Everyone forgets Yaddle.
I believe they've already specifically, like, the Yoda has been
Yoda.
Like has been part of the big push of like the High Republic stuff in the comics and book tie-in space. So it's probably your boy, but maybe you know maybe it could be
Clash of Civilizations. We must win.
I don't know, Rob. Anything else stand out to you? Wait, go ahead, Kato.
Well, I was just gonna say. If we wanted to switch gears, another thing that was interesting was seeing Telltale mentioned twice. It's like, yeah. What is
what's Telltale now?
You what mean that company it? That like laid off all their employees unceremoniously and gave them like no health insurance or like severance?
So
like that Telltale?
So that group of people is what Dramatic Labs is now, right?
I don't know, dude. Maybe.
Dramatic Labs is making a Star Trek game, which is Telltale people.
But then there is a Telltale.
There's a Telltale that is making an Expanse game, which...
And a Wolf the Wolf Among Us Season 2. That was the first thing they announced when...
Trying to get that goodwill back.
Yeah, I like that first season. I
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah,
I know. It was effective. I'm not.
Do you hate fake Telltale now that there's another Wolf Among Us?
I mean, I think I would.
You wouldn't
that
punch
for,
the punch the wolf, would you?
Does a severance check pop out?
But no, that is my
guess,
thought.
I guess
like,
maybe
I just don't know what a
union
Telltale
card needs to pop out, not a severance check.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I also don't care about the Expanse. I don't have like strong. Ooh. I tried. I had a moment where I've almost assuredly have told this on the podcast probably years ago. But a couple seasons into that show, people were like, "If you love Battlestar or like stuff like that, like this is the show to get into." It has kind of a rough start for seasons, a little touch and go. But like once you're in it. You know, you're season two on, you're good to go. And my wife, you know, more like I like kind of when we watch things, I like present to her a platter. It's like, all right, like I know your taste. I know mine. Here's like 3 to 5 things we could go down. I'm fine with any of them. And like one day she picked, oh, let's try the first episode of The Expanse. And it like could not have gone more poorly. She's like, this is the most boring shit I have ever seen
wow.
in my life. And I remember like a couple of nights later, like, you want to try that second episode? Maybe it picks up. She's like, no, I think that's your show now. And I was like, oh. All right. And then I never picked it up.
So, yeah, I'm strongly pro-Expanse.
I'm sure it's good. I'm not anti-Expanse. I am just... I need to find the time to watch it on my own. And
Expanse curious.
Yeah, I am.
I was spoiled on what, like, I was listening to a podcast where someone was trying to convince people who were Expanse curious, but like really couldn't get through like the first couple of episodes of the first season. And they spoiled a thing that happens at the end. And that spoiler really got me curious. I was like, oh, that's good. Like, I would like to watch that show. But then I thought about the detective hat from the pilot. And I was like, I don't remember.
You know
that,
what's real though. Fucked up is you'll come to love the detective
hat. You'll come to love the hat. Like, you'll be like, for the hat at a certain point.
It's what everyone says, but like, it's so bad. Like, the first episode is just such a slog.
It's so weird. So the other thing is, you know, that's I Just Want My Kids Back guy from Arrested Development, right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God.
But
I didn't.
Yeah, it's Thomas Jane.
Oh, that did not make that connection.
So the thing about it is, like, I think the first season of The Expanse, the thing I sympathize with is that is not so much a first season as it is laying out an entire setting. Like, they're doing so much fucking world building and laying out the state of play that the actual conflict that entire series is about does not really begin until the end of that first season.
Right.
And in retrospect, that makes me like the season more, because it's like, wow, look at all the stage setting they do.
Right.
But man, at the time, week to week, I was like, I am just watching this because I am, one, I'm just thrilled that sci-fi is doing real shows again. Mm-hmm. And two, I am so desperate for anything to fill the Battlestar shaped a hole in my heart that I just kept grimly watching it. And they did give me a little bite of that with, I think the fourth episode, CQB, Close Quarters Battle. That was like, okay, this is some good space. Like,
some good space
spaceships go boom. Yeah, it was some good shit. Anyway, Patrick, you gotta get back on board so you can be ready. Well,
then you'll understand why people were hyped about this trailer. I was hyped.
I was like, yes, that's Drummer.
Drummer! Fuck yeah, I want to play as Drummer. Drummer fucking kicks ass.
And then I saw it was Telltale, and I was like, who?
Who? Oh.
So yeah, and they announced two games, right? It was,
Telltale announced that, and then the ex-Telltale, which also said Telltale within the trailer, I think.
But right. Like,
announced the Star Trek Resurgence.
Oh, the Star Trek Resurgence, which,
I'm not a Star Trek person, so.
Neither
There's
am I.
One thing I want to go back to real quick. Sure. One, yeah. Keely gave a really stilted and like half-assed statement at the start of it. We talked about that a lot on a pod recorded yesterday. Okay. So if you're like, are you going to address the way Keely and the Game Awards did not address?
You'll hear it in 2 weeks.
That's one. But the other thing I want to call out is, I actually like I've always enjoyed how musical the Game Awards are. Like, legit, mm-hmm. I always have. Including the fact that, like, what was it? Like, the year Weezer was there, and, like, Jack Black was, ascending upstage. Even that I enjoyed. I had no idea what to make of the
dope intro song to Arcane that was a collaboration between Supergiant and Imagine Dragons, which was actually kind of dope. And that intro song is like better than you think. And Kaido and I have both privately conceded to ourselves that sometimes we watch the intro because it was a little bit better than we want to talk about.
It's
we're talking about the Sting song.
No,
we are not.
I know the Sting song.
Oh, the Sting song is not the intro to Arcane.
Right.
That is a song separate from song. Arcane. From Arcane,
yeah.
Right.
But the one word, Darren, what's Corp. His last name? Corp. Yeah, the composer does all the great music for all the Supergiant stuff, was on stage with Imagine Dragons. They were singing.
No, that was cool. That was a sweet moment. Dig it.
The Sting thing was weird.
But as an opener, where it was like, I swear to God, it was like
Sting had somewhere else to be that night. He was like, put me on first and then I'm out of here.
I think his performance was fine. The song's just a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
It was like, let's all go into the like black walled basement, turn on the black light, and like, I don't know, like cry or something. It was, the vibes were terrible. And I was like, this is how we're opening an award show song of like bitterness and anger.
Right, because Kaido, correct me if I'm wrong, that song doesn't play until like the very end of the series when things are going really poorly for a lot of like beloved characters. Like, it's not a song of hope and like optimism. It's like a bunch of people you've come to care about over the course of this season, and you're like, things suck shit for all of them.
Yeah,
dude, that's, it's like, it was like the Game Awards opened by just like putting a cup of hemlock on the table between you and just like watching your reaction. Like, that's how I was like, that's fucking weird. That is a weird way to open the show.
What he should have done was come out and be like, I know everyone's here to listen to this track from Arcane, but I just got to get these Tarzan songs out of my system. And here we go.
No, he should have just been like,
he did an entire
set of... I swear we've even had this bit on the show. I swear to God, we've had this bit on the show.
Dude, like the 90s animated Tarzan from Disney is just full of, frankly, Sting bangers.
No,
like,
that's not Sting. That's Phil Collins. That's Phil Collins from Genesis.
You're right.
Hang on. Hang on. Their heads and hairlines can be very similar.
You're right. No, you're right. I feel like this is a fair mistake to make.
Yeah.
So now that would have made it even better if Sting came out and said, I've been listening to these songs.
I love my buddy Phil Collins. They're friends probably, right?
See, I think he should have just audibled at the line. He's like, you want me to open an awards show this way? No. We need to do some crowd work. And he just opens with Roxanne. And then I think we're good. Like, you know, he could have just punted and done Sweet Caroline. But I think, you know, for it being Sting, probably more appropriate to make it Roxanne.
Oh, God.
That's good. Let's see. What else?
Oh, my God.
Yep. What do you think of that Witch Queen trailer?
This is unrelated to anything that we're talking about right now, but I just saw it.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm scrolling through an IGN article, so you're...
Everything that Square Enix has on Steam is now on sale, which is a very funny... Probably not a coincidence, but, like, concurrent event with them shutting down... all sales of Final Fantasy 14, which is like, go play any of our other games.
So is everything but FF14?
Because you cannot buy that game right now because there are too many people trying to log into that game right now.
Wow, just slipping the gamers like a Final Fantasy
just
and being like, you fuck off.
Anything else. It's extremely funny. Oh.
I really love the Rocksteady Batman games, other than the third one. But even then, there was enough there for me to, slog through it and find stuff that I liked. I'm still not sold on the Suicide Squad game, at all. Like, the gameplay they showed, that's a lot of guns. You know, I like shooting guns in games, but that's not... I don't know. Like, I guess I'll have to wait to see a little bit more of like how, like, actual like moment to moment gameplay. But it worried me that, like, is this a 4-player co-op game that then becomes like a kind of boring single player game? If you don't have like 4 people like running around as like King Shark, Quinn, and was it Boomerang and Deadshot? I don't know. I guess it's been so long since another one of those Batman games that I'm at the point where I'm like, it'd be cool if like Rocksteady made another Batman game. I guess there's been like a rumor there's going to be a remaster of the original, which is like, it's long enough that I would love to have a reason to play that game again. But I don't know.
That doesn't really need a remaster, unfortunately. And
it doesn't. Well, they'll add ray tracing and call it a day. I don't know. Like, I've been looking for it. I was like, right, Rocksteady, it's been a long time since they've put out a game. Right, we're approaching like 6 years. It's like, all right, like, what is the studio Rocksteady? What have they been doing for half a decade? And I don't know, like, nothing about that trailer.
I just felt nothing.
Yeah. I felt nothing.
And also, like, so trying for the same, like, we're just here for the hijinks, like, having the Guardians of the Galaxy comparison like active in the space now, where it's like, okay, you want to see a mismatched group of like heroes and heroes bantering their way through an adventure? Okay, well, we just made a game about that, and here's this trailer, and that is an unfair bar to hold it up against, but like, there was nothing, like, there was just nothing I could latch onto that made me interested narratively or. Shooting
and that movie just came out, which I generally like James Gunn stuff, and like, that movie did absolutely nothing for me. And so I don't know. I feel like there's a little bit of like residual effect there. It's like, well, like a movie that I didn't particularly care for. And now there's a video game with the exact same like tone. I could, this very much feels like, I mean, the Suicide Squad has that sort of like dynamic inherently, but I don't know. I haven't written it off, but I need to see more. Like I'm pretty disappointed by, I'm more interested in my theoretical Wonder Woman monolith game than I am in like the actual game that will be available, you know, in 6 to 9 months from Rocksteady.
Also, so the Dying Light trailer we saw, I was just reminded of like, they're trying to go back to that Dead Island vibe a little bit, where it's like, look at all the sad shit happening in zombie world. Oh man, bet you feel pretty differently now that you know that man who killed those two gay kids has a sick Christ. Child at home. And
let's just
I'm
fucking
like,
speed run bury your gays. Like
I know. I'm just. I was
can
just
it be
like,
a, can it be a trope if it's over in 90 seconds?
Yeah.
So that didn't Christ. That didn't really land for me, but you know what did land? Literally, Captain Titus of the Ultramarines.
Oh my God!
Look, I don't think there's many of us out there who are like Space Marine fucking ruled. But for those of us who are, Space Marine did fucking rule, and they're making Space Marine 2 now. Crucially. I don't know if any, like, I feel like Space Marine was licensed so that somebody can make something called Space Marine 2. I have no idea if there's any, like, continuity with any of that, like, Relic team that made Space Marine. But, and also,
Tim
like...
Tim Willits is over there now, right? Like, the ex-id Software guy? He was on stage for that, wasn't he? I feel like that he was on stage.
I can't remember.
Yeah, the bald guy from... Yeah, he's the chief creative officer of Saber Interactive. He was at id for... he became the director of 3D Realms with Saber's acquisition. Weird. Anyway.
What is but, Space Marine?
So Space Marine was a third-person shooter about... Space Marines doing badass shit. And right. So they made a horrible mistake, which was they were like, their selling point was that there was no cover system. They were like, Space Marines are such badasses. They wear their cover right. And their cover is their body armor and their faith in the Emperor. So there's no cover system. And that's why this is cooler than Gears of War.
Uh-huh.
And that turned out to not be the most effective sales pitch. And also, like, I do feel like it was a cool game, but it was also a, like, it's a shooter being made by a studio that didn't make shooters, that doesn't make shooters. And it had some of that coarseness. But what offset that a little bit is that they had Mark Strong playing Captain Titus, who's leading this band of Space Marines through this, like, hive world. And it turned into just a good Warhammer 40K story that paid off on a lot of like things it sets up. And at the end, crucially, Captain Titus has been so fucking badass and has stared chaos in the face that naturally the Imperial. Yeah, what?
Sorry, you said Hive World. I'm like, so one of the bug ones.
But no, then I no. More like Necromunda, right? Where it's like Imperial Hive Worlds, like Forge Worlds.
Like, they're within the Imperium?
Yeah. Okay. They're, like, entire planets that are, like, turned into factories. And people Great. Live in, like, hive complexes. It's super good. The Empire sucks. It's
yeah,
a
yeah.
Place
yes,
to live.
Yes.
This and, is, and, that, yeah. And that hits home at the end where, like, at the end of it, having, like, saved this planet and, like, saved the Imperial Guard troopers who were fighting there, the Inquisition shows up and is like, well, you've all been exposed to chaos, so we have to kill everybody here. And he's like, well, if you try to do that, well, like, I guess, you know, I've never, the Ultramarines have never killed a bunch of Inquisitors before, but there's a first time for everything, I guess. And they cut a deal. Like, the Inquisition sort of abducts him so that his Space Marine buddies and his Imperial Guard besties are allowed to live. And so, yeah, who knows? what's he been up to for 10 years? Are they going to pick that thread up? Is this like, I got a little bit weird vibes, no longer Mark Strong. Is that the only thing I'm getting that feels a little bit off about Captain Titus? Or like, is maybe this not the guy we remember? Could be, huh?
Oh my God. It's a lot of conversation about Captain Titus.
You know what else has changed since the last time we saw Captain Titus is the Primarch of the Ultramarines has returned, which we thought all the Primarchs were lost, but some of them are back now. Just earth-shattering information.
So this is what it sounds like when I talk about Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We ask you what's going on in the Destiny lore. I hit mute on my headphones.
I'm pretty sure I saw, like, if Patrick had glasses, I'm pretty sure I could be, like, reading his emails right now or, like, see his bank account as he's just paying some bills. went off. Got to unsubscribe to that service.
I don't know what my next one is. I probably have one coming up. I had to check my, Disney Plus when they did, like, their stupid Disney Plus day. I was like, what do I gotta do with that? And then I remembered I'd paid for 3 years in advance because it was cheaper to do it that way.
What? You could pay for Disney Plus for 3 years?
Right before they launched, you could pay, if you paid for 3 years in advance, it came out to like $2 a month or like a chump change. And it was like, I would have paid for 10 years. if they literally let me pay $1,000 for 10 years at $2 a month or whatever, like, take the money. It's the service we use every single day. And it's not even the kind of thing where like, oh, the money would work out if I just bought those individual things. It's just like the carousel spin.
Yeah. I need to rationalize my subscriptions. This is on my to-do list, is like, I got to purge it down so that it, like, I'm paying for stuff I'm not even using. I have paid for like 2 years of Verve just so I can watch Polar Bear Cafe, and I haven't finished Polar Bear Cafe. That's fucked up.
Gotta finish Polar Bear Cafe.
On my reminders app, check Disney Plus sub 8/27/22. So, I mean, that's, you know, coming up next August.
Yeah.
Perfect. You know, gotta get ready to
take a look at that. My next one is cancel the Washington Post, which is not actually cancel the Washington Post. I should write threaten to cancel the Washington Post so that I can get the deal that I already have, which is like where I pay like $2 a month.
I legitimately canceled it. I was like, you know what? I am not giving a goddamn tenth of a penny to Glenn Kessler. Like, I will be goddamned.
Mr. Pinocchio has gone too far this time for Rob.
It's Glenn Kessler, Megan McArdle. I'm not paying for that shit. Fuck off.
It's true. Also, what I've discovered in the year, like, I was paying for, like, my, like, regional paper, the Daily Herald, and then, which I still pay for, and I was paying for, like, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and then at a certain point, I was like, this is absurd. I don't need the New York Times and the Washington Post. So I canceled the New York Times during one of those days where everyone was upset. And I was like, all right, this is a good time to just get off the train. Negotiated my way through customer service on the Washington Post. And then what I've learned over the past like year is that I click on way more New York Times links than I do Washington Post links. And so what I'm going to end up doing is canceling the Washington Post and then asking for a cheaper sub rate for the New York Times, because I'm so tired of using like a Chrome extension that lets me get through the paywall. Like I'm even though I can do everything for free, the internet will let me do that. I'm tired of doing that or getting the pop-up on my phone. I was like, it turns out what I actually do read is the New York Times and not the Washington Post.
Yeah. See, I just need a signed promise from whatever little Sulzberger is running that place right now, or one of the other family members. Mm-hmm. That none of that wire cutter or NYT cooking money is gonna get to the opinion columnists. Like, soon as you promise me that, like, sorry, some of the editorial guys, like, you know, Benjamin Applebaum, I'll pay for that guy, sure. But like, I just don't
pick with a drop down menu. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know what? Just continue. If you're going to get hate clicks, fine. But, like, let them be. I guess that's actually a perverse incentive. See, turns out I thought I was going to fix media here, like, live on the air. I ain't. We should take a quick break, though, so we can pay some of our own bills. So we'll be right back.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, so it's time to move on from the Game Awards, except that Homeworld 3 had a trailer, and that was cool. And I think it was really topical because, like, y'all were asking, what's Homeworld? Homeworld, mm-hmm. Deserts of Korok, that sounds like some bullshit. And it's really good, and I think we should be excited about Homeworld. And then, crucially for us, because we're all about that co-op shooter life and, like, strengthening our bonds as friends and fire team members, GTFO, the breakout star of the anniversary 8-hour, left Early Access Live during the Game Awards. I haven't played it because,
I mean, good for you, Rob. They added AI partners, so you don't need me or Emmanuel. Maybe
no,
you can,
but we got to do that live puzzle solving. We got to be sitting there being like, okay, where, like, which, like, blast door is this telling us to open? Where's the code? That's what we need.
GTFO is like an exaggerated, like when we play Back for Blood, it's like, well, who set off the crows? And it's like one component of the game. GTFO is like, what if that was the entire game? Like, I'm going to sneak up on this guy. Ah, well, I appear to have alerted all of the enemies. Oh, Kato is typing.
And hello? We just straight up.
Hi. Yo,
hey, Kato.
Hi. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was.
You were like, Kato's typing, and I was like, we're not waiting for Kato to type. I've seen Kato type. Kato's the slowest typist on Waypoint. Like,
what?
No, it's true, Kato. Like, Kato was typing the delta between the Kato's typing notification and a message appearing is noticeably longer. I wouldn't say it's by an order of.
I finished writing a thing, rethink the phrasing, realize there's a spelling mistake, go back, change it. Change the phrase altogether, erase the sentence, and start anew, and then
you're
say.
Not, it's, you're not dispelling Rob's
look,
statement.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I just, like, write straight and, like, I can type, like, a normal speed. It's me second-guessing things is the thing that is happening back there.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, there's a second guess.
I figured you were just hunting and pecking. No. Where I was like, you know, for such a text-heavy guy, like, I don't know why Kato can't fucking type.
Very funny.
What they should second guess is this Halo TV series. And what are they doing? It looks real bad.
Also, it feels like they're trying to make the whole, like, Master Chief as inspiring hero thing. They keep trying to sell that in the marketing.
Yep.
And it's like, that
he's
isn't
a, he's
what's
a man
interesting.
In a mask.
Yes.
No, like... The Mandalorian, like, you know, is, I guess, is the, if you want to make the argument, like, there's a way to do it. I guess the Mandalorian, like manages to make a character out of a person who never takes off a mask. But I just, that's a hard thing to do. I don't see them doing it. And I also just do not give a shit about seeing, like, they've shown, like, no covenant, like, none of the wild alien species that, like, need to be shown off. And I'm like, that's all going to look, you really want to look at an elite or a grunt? In live action? Not really. I don't.
It's like, what if Farscape took itself so fucking seriously? Yes. Like, what if it's like the production design of Farscape, but the vibe is Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, it's like, God damn it.
Fucking Jim Henson Creature Workshop character is working the machine guns, killing the guys, getting off the boats in Omaha. And it's like, whoa, there, we got him.
Right, like, are they going to have, like, the funny grunt dialogue, like, in throughout this series?
Like, and so this is why, like, this is why I always come back to, I think if you're going to do a TV series or, like, try to get a vibe for the Halo universe, I feel like that Forward Unto Dawn series did a really good job. It was set in the military academy, and it was all just leaning into the fact that, like, UNSC fucking sucks. It was like a little fascist military academy getting completely obliterated by the first wave of Covenant at the start of that war. And it's all like,
you can't make it about Master Chief. And like, where Master Chief is like,
he shows up.
He is a central character. The show does not exist without his presence, but he looms and is a special guest star, as opposed to we are going to see this world through the eyes of a character whose best known trait is that he speaks in a monotone voice and has had the humanity sucked out of him by a scientist who has been kidnapping and killing children in order to save the human race.
That reminds me, worst decision I made this year. It's a close contest, but the worst decision I made was Waze was like, hey, do you want to replace the Waze voice with Master Chief? And I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I do want to replace the Waze voice with Master Chief. Sure. Also, make me one of the little hover bike things on the map. That's cool. So, yeah, let it rip, Waze. So the Master Chief speech pack for Waze. Master Chief, they didn't record enough to actually have him tell you your route. So all that Master Chief is saying is like, in 200 yards, right, fall in.
But it's none of the streets.
No streets. No, just in a quarter mile, exit left, eyes up.
Soldier.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I guess that's it. But now I'm stuck on this car ride. I mean, I'm on the highway, and Master Chief is being like, fall in, 200 yards, merge left,
eyes put on up. Your turn signal.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I desperately now want Master Chief to stop talking. And, like, I get in a place where, like, okay, traffic is light now, I'm kind of driving alone, and I'm like, surely I can figure it out. I'll just reach over there and, like, try to get Master Chief to shut up. And I'm like, you know, I've never been in these menus to change who's talking. Like, Waze was just like, do you want Waze to talk like Master Chief? And I was like, fuck yeah, hit the yes button on that question. But then I'm sitting there and, like, you know, like keep an eye on traffic, and I'm like, wait, where's the button to make it go back to normal? And once I realized I had no idea where that button was, I was like, well, I guess Master Chief is getting me home. just put the phone back down and just keep an eye on the map. Because,
what does he say when you arrive at your destination?
You've arrived at your destination.
Oh, okay.
And then I think he does say something special, though, where it's like mission complete or something. I think there was like a bit
that's
of
what
a
I wanted my mission accomplished.
Yeah. And then I was like, I never need to hear this again. This was the worst. This was a terrible decision. And this also, like, it also answers all my other questions about, like, the other novelty speech packs they have. Don't do it. Do not do it.
Don't do it. Yeah, that seems like a reasonable place to end up at.
Yeah. So in our last 20 minutes, Patrick, before we have this big, important motherboard meeting, video games, do. Huh?
One I would like to shout out quickly. When I was, you know, kind of going through games I wanted to play before the end of the year, see if anything kind of snuck on, Moncage, which is a puzzle game I had seen various folks going on about on Twitter. And so I put 2 or 3 hours into that. It's awesome. Moncage is a puzzle game in which you are looking at a cube. There are different scenes in that cube, and you are rotating the cube in order to... Most of the game is just lining up objects. Like, and if I rotate the cube at certain angles, I can get, like, part of this object to complete itself as the full object on another side of that cube. And so, like, all you've got to work with is, like, well, what it's the sides that are, like, to the left, the up, to the right. Like, you're limited in what you can do. And so the space in which the puzzle solution can exist is very limited. Which makes, like, it really fun, because you're like, I am staring at the solution. It frequently feels like you're looking at a, what are they? There's like the things in the mall. Yes, a magic eye. Where I stare at this long enough, if I'm like, frequently you're not actually doing constructive puzzle solving. You're just, I will just move this cube until all of a sudden you go, oh shit. like those lines do match up. It has a really, really wonderful hint system that has like multiple safeguards to be like, do you really like where when you're, I don't know, a couple minutes into trying to figure out what the next move is, and you, it's a limited space to do it. So it's like always pretty obvious where you should be poking and prodding and moving the cube. You'll just get a little like a flash in the corner, and it's just like, hey, a hint is now available. It wasn't at the start, but now it is available. And then you can go over to the hint section, and it's got three layers of hints. And so you like, you know, telling you that you can go from vague to very specific. And even when you hit the button to unlock that clue, like a meter fills up. So you can be like, no, okay, actually, no, I don't, nope. I'm going to go back in. Like, I've got an idea now. I'm going to go screw with it again. And one time I was just truly stuck, and I went through the three hints. And even the third one is not like a screenshot that says, do this. It is just increasingly specific hints without the actual solution at the end. And I really appreciated that, because like my big thing with puzzle games is I love them. I enjoy playing them, but I get frustrated easily. And it sucks that frequently the way to bridge my mental gap is to then go to a YouTube walkthrough, slowly scrub through it so I can get what is a hint. Like, I should just be, all I want to know is I should look over here. I don't want to be told what to do. I just want to know that look on this side, play around in this space, and hopefully you can figure it out. And this game has that in its hint system. So I'm just always making progress without the feeling that I'm like completely cheating myself out of the solution. Like, it feels like the game, the hints are written as though there's someone sitting next to me that's like, just like, you know, kind of like every day with the Elf on a Shelf with my kids. It's like, you know, I don't know. I guess we really just haven't checked the living room enough. heard the elf loves to be over by the TV. And it's just really well written in that way. And so many games get that part wrong or don't do it at all. Or it's like not a hint system. It's a solution system. Yeah, it's like, not what I want.
I remember, God, the game that did this best in my memory is like one of the old Tex Murphy games, Pandora Directive.
Yeah.
But they didn't, it wasn't, the hints were either, it was very rare, the hints were either, first of all, it didn't escalate very well. Like, they would give you a hint, and then it's like, that didn't really do it for me. And then it's like, well, do you just want to drop it down to baby mode and not solve the puzzles? And I was like, no, I'm here for the puzzles. But that was kind of the problem, is like, there was never, it wasn't a nice, like, Goldilocks escalation of like hinting to solving. And that struck me as, it made me realize, like, giving satisfying hints is actually pretty fucking hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And even to the point where one of them, where I escalated the hints, the last hint I went, that's not specific enough. Like, I was like, that is next. And I did get there. I thought about it a little bit more. And then but I'd rather the game stop at that point. And then where it's like, look, if this hint we have given you, which the developers feel is as specific as they want to get, well, then I'll just go look up the walkthrough and I'll get like the actual thing to do next. But so many games like don't do that, climb the ladder in that way. So other than being really smart and really pretty and really enjoyable, like the only thing that's missing is like, if it's like the quintessential, I wish this was on an iPad or a Switch, because in the same way that I really enjoyed the Room games, like playing that on a phone or an iPad, there's something about like moving the object with your fingers as opposed to what I'm doing now, which is like the interaction is like press the mouse button to like cue the game that's like, hey, I want to shift it, and then I move the mouse to, you know, to do those actions. And I'm sure this game will eventually come to all those places, but it works fine on a mouse, and it's very, very satisfying. And so Mon Cage is one of those games I end of the year, seems like a really good holiday game, just something chill to hang out with for a couple of hours. It's, I don't think it's particularly long. I think I'm like halfway through after a couple of hours.
Kata, what did you want to shout out today?
Well, we can talk about Babel Royale real quick.
Yeah.
That's a quick one.
Yeah, that's the new hotness.
The new hotness dropped literally yesterday when we're recording this. Babel Royale is a Battle Royale Scrabble game from the creators behind Universal Paperclips, that just was announced yesterday and dropped for free. And I jumped into it and had a lot of fun playing this.
Was
very
your slow
weird...
typing? Were your slow typing issues like problematic in playing it?
No,
or...
actually, you have to be very deliberate about your typing.
Oh,
you
so it was an advantage.
Christ!
Wow! Wow!
The game plays like, you know, multiplayer Scrabble. There's 16 people playing this game at the same time. You're on a Scrabble board that has your normal like 3x, 5x like bonus spots, but then also scattered kind of more randomly are item pickups, because this is a battle royale. You need to pick things up while you're out in the field. And essentially, the way you move across the screen is by making words. There's a ring slowly, you know, closing in. And
so it's like the last letter you type, like your position?
The last word, right? Like the whole word makes up like your character's body, essentially. And essentially what you're trying to do is, you know, stay alive as long as possible. And you also, if you run in, get close enough to other people, you can kill them by making a word that connects your last word and their current like active word. Every time you make a new word, your old word is behind you kind of in gray. It just becomes like leftover chaff, basically. And they have a couple of items that help you like there's one that lets you re-rack, right? So you get all new tiles. You get kind of you get tiles on a pretty quick timer if you've run out of options. Basically, you get new letters like at a slow tick. Unless if you can use all of them, it gives you a whole new rack immediately. So there's some strategy to like looking at the whole rack and being like, oh, I can use it all up by making this sequence of words, right? There's a bomb item that gets rid of everything that's gray within a certain circle, like because by like the rules of Scrabble, when you're making like words off of your current word, it also has if it lines up with any of your old words, the old tiles that were there, they still have to make sense. They still have to make words along those axes. So there's a little bomb thing where you can get rid of everything around you and just use your current like active letters to make words. It's been really fucking fun. There's like very different strategies. Just like in your battle royale, there's the my strategy of making lots of little small words to like move towards the center slowly and leave a lot of mess, so I'm harder to get at. Basically, this hiding in the bush strategy or hiding in a fucking bathroom strategy. Austin, who's his tweet about this was the reason I saw that it was happening, posted a clip of him sniping someone basically by connecting their oil and he like quickly made air and then dropped an F between to make airfoil, but he was like at the word before air, and it's just like wild to like see like, oh, like you can like kind of, if you have the right combination, you can really get like creep up on someone very quickly. So it's really like I have a horrible vocabulary, I'll admit it, but it doesn't penalize you for like playing wrong things. So there's a little.
This is good to hear because I also have a terrible vocabulary. And so as I've seen this and it was like briefly floated, I think by you, like, what if we streamed this? I'm like, that's, I actually don't know if I would want to do this. I think it would just like expose like something that I take. Like,
I've learned so many words.
Whenever I had to play Scrabble or something, I was like, it's not fun for me. I was like, I'm bad at this. Like, this is not a fun game for me. Like, this is a weakness in my brain. Like, I don't want to do this. So that's interesting that you can find ways to play it that aren't just
it's like this
Scrabble
this
thing.
Seems
where it's
like
you got
be
the
a
biggest
word.
Brain, the biggest vocabulary, so you're gonna win the game.
Right.
But there are other ways to approach it.
Like, that's you can cool. definitely like game out around not necessarily seeing the words quickly. There's certain things where like you can just so it doesn't penalize you for like putting wrong words. It just says that doesn't work. Like, try again. And so there are moments where I've like in a panic, just put down every tile, seeing what works, being like, that sounds like a word. And then sometimes it hits and you're like, fuck yes, I'm out. I'm that out of rules. The fuck, right? Okay. It gives you that same excitement of being stuck, like someone's like blocking your way out of the circle and you get like the right shot and then you get into the circle and you're safe, sort of moments almost of like, I'm scrambling here. I'm trying, like, I've. it also has the really funny battle royale, like, there's hot zones. There are places where there's a lot of items and, like, a bunch of people drop. And if you want to drop spicy in this game, you can.
It's spicy.
And
drop.
One of my fucking. One of my favorite kills I got in this game was learning that the word a'a, which is a Hawaiian word for a specific type of volcano, is just two A's, right? I land diagonally from somebody else. Everyone starts on A.
I was curious how it handled loan words. Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone starts as an A. And so I land diagonally to somebody else. And the way this works is you can see people placing tiles. You see like a ghost outline of like, they have a tile here. They're trying to do something. And I see them place a tile like directly above me. And I just like, as quickly as I possibly could, drag my A up there and hit go, and it made a in both directions with me and them, and sniped them in like the first 2 seconds of the game, and it just felt amazing. Like I got that spicy drop and then immediately got a kill by punching someone, basically. It's a really clever combination of like when battle royales were getting out, there was like that small moment of everything trying their hand at making one of these, and like that kind of fell away already. But this is a welcome addition to that wave of like, what if battle royale plus X random thing that you'd think might not work, and it works.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they have a weird thing in their shop. They have a shop. They have like a battle royale, like, you know, you buy skins for your letters, basically, shop. And it seems like there's going to be a season structure of some sort. But then there's also a really big button that says, fuck free-to-play games, $60 for everything we ever make. Which is weird. When it's in the same store where you can buy the gems to buy the skins that are the thing that free-to-play games have, because this is a free-to-play game with that monetization scheme, even. But then you also have the big button that is called fuck them, give us $60, and you get everything. It's like, just have the one button then, right? The issue, like, it goes on to say in that screen, like when you click in, that they don't like the sort of nickel and dime method of, you know, continuously making new things that in order to get people to buy more things, and they want to focus on making interesting gameplay stuff happen down the line. And it's like, sure, if that's true, then why do you have those things still here? And it's like, because monetarily you have to offer something for people who don't want to pay the $60, I guess, but you're still doing the thing you purportedly hate. Just giving people an option to opt out, opt into a different market, doesn't erase the fact that you're still doing that thing. It's kind of strange, but it is free, and I don't know why you, someone's gonna want those skins. You can get like little camo on your Scrabble tiles. It's
hell yeah,
very funny. I have a little hat. I got a hat because I got a number one placement, a little crown.
You gotta show everyone that you're a little tier one Scrabble battle operator.
Yeah,
battle royale.
Just take 30 seconds. I know we got to wrap up and get out of here. I finished Solar Ash. That game's fucking awesome.
Nice.
It's like a hyper-violent Super Mario Galaxy in some ways. The combat is not very good. The platforming is not very good. But, like, we had an award we didn't get to that's later in our Game of the Year awards, like, podcast that was, like, best experience, like, separated from, like, its individual components. Like, Solar Ash is like one of those, like it just like washed over me. Like the parts that I loved so hard. Like every time I skated up one of these colossuses and the colossi and like I'm stabbing it in the eye, like that stuff just felt so good. But lots of individual pieces of it, like the story, like did absolutely nothing for me, but I still really liked it. I'm going to forget about it by the time we record again. So I just wanted to shout it out to people, should check that out if it goes on sale or something. It's I liked it quite a bit.
Awesome. I think that's it for podcasts in for regular Waypoint Radios in 2021. We're done.
We're out.
Wait, where the fuck is the outro?
This is why we weren't letting Patrick into the document before.
Yeah, God.
The outro.
Just delete them. But you can take out all those mailbag questions. Oof.
No, it's gone.
No, it's in the middle. It's in the middle somewhere.
Who on earth? What?
I saw it. Just Command F outro.
What page?
Well, I didn't want to put the Game of the Year questions in the actual, because I feel like you specifically tailor those, you maintain those, so I didn't want to mess with your flow, and you could just take all those questions out that I pasted.
You're right.
It's gone.
That was very thoughtful. I didn't tell you that I've since changed the meta for question bucket, and it's all being routed through Evernote now, because I was...
There we go. Yeah.
Shy of telling you all that we are now an Evernote team.
Oh,
and good to know. We're all gonna get with Evernote, and we're gonna have shared notebooks, and we're gonna collab via Evernote, and then maybe once there's three of us complaining to Microsoft, to Evernote about their Surface support, maybe that ticket can finally get answered. Anyway,
Rob is gonna smuggle into the next like. Equipment buy.
Yeah.
Like, well, also, we need four surfaces.
You'd love it. I think you'd be like. I think I would be like boss of the year. I bet you all would be like, holy shit! Now this is productivity. Podcasting.
God, you and Austin both. Everyone I know that has a Surface really likes it. I'm not even. That's not even like a bit. Like I bet I would really like a Surface.
And I'll bet you would too. But you know what you might like more than a Surface is a subscription to Waypoint Plus. You can go to waypointplus.com to subscribe. That gives you access to our premium feed where we've been doing stuff like revisiting the works of Michael Mann. People just love it. They can't stop writing in being like, man, I just wish there were more Michael Mann podcasts. Check out the forums. Check out the community conversation. Everyone's like, my God, manhunting. It's the best.
Way more
need way more. We also been doing the Matrix podcasts, and we'll be checking out Matrix Resurrections sort of as our first Waypoint Plus order of business when we get back from the break. And of course, Waypoint Plus also supports our streams. This week, Natalie and I, for real this time, not as a bit, finished Inscription. It was awesome. Couldn't have done it without our Waypoint Plus subscribers. So once again, that's waypointplus.com. There will be a sale later this month. You'll hear more.
You'll listen to this on Friday. Starting on Monday, you'll get a reminder in the newsletter. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be on our Twitter and stuff like that. But, yeah, if you go to vice.com/waypoint starting on Monday and going through the end of the year, use the code WAYLASTMINUTE, you get 25% off an annual sub. And as in previous sales, I believe that stuff stacks where you can, if you have a monthly, you can go up to an annual. If you already paid for an annual, your next year will get the discount if you just want to put it on top of that.
Our theme music is by Bowen. The track is Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Learn more at waypoint.zone/BOEN. That's us for 2021. We will talk to you again for the Game of the Year podcasts and next year. Until then, hang on. I have to copy something here. I have no place making fun of Kato for being for typing slowly. I have been writing using a stylus into text boxes for the last like month to speak with y'all.
Oh my God.
Like, for Christ's sake, why are you doing this? And it's like, because I'm just getting the most out of my Surface and that Surface life. And so I really can't cast stones here because I'm living in a, I'm living in a Gorilla Glass house. And so I guess it takes all kinds and all input speeds and modes. Anyway,
thanks
until next year. Fuck capitalism. Go home.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Got a dishwasher just roaring in the other room.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's not leaving a fingerprint on the file, but I'll bet it is. Kato's good. You got it, right, Kato?
He's got that dishwasher drop down.
Yeah. All right.
That's how it works. You just pick what it is from menu and boom.
Just throw it right out.
Bye, dishwasher. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. 40 seconds. Cool.
Hello?
Let's see if waypoint.gay is back open.
Can y'all hear me? Because if you can, y'all are frozen on my end.
And one of us is broken.
Which.
Gonna have to let Baron know.
Presuming means I've disconnected.
All right, so.
Oh, that doesn't bode well. I tried to send it a message and it didn't go through. Okay.
What's good, internet? One last time. It is December 17th and you are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 448.
What, Kato?
Hello. Oh, we are back.
What are we doing here, Kato? Oh. What's going on here? I hear myself.
You hear yourself?
Yeah, I hear myself.
From me?
No. Hold on, I got this. Don't worry about it.
Okay. y'all were frozen for like 30 seconds.
That's just you.
Yeah, I think the internet on my end did a weird hiccup because it also... I sent that hello like 30 seconds ago.
Okay.
I think
all right.
It looks okay now.
We'll wind it back.
Yeah.